The Sharpshooters, episode 10, October 19, 2005. Welcome everyone to episode 10 of The Sharpshooters. I'm Eric.
I'm Marcus, the garden finale.
And this is episode 10 of our bi-weekly podcast of the happenings in wrestling. How are you feeling this week, Marcus?
Yeah, I'm all right, I think.
Hopefully. I'm not feeling great. I've been banned for work for the last 2 days. Can't return till Friday because of a freaking pink eye. But hey, what can I do? Can't really complain. This week in wrestling, I guess you could say we have a pretty jam-packed show. We have our news.
All right.
We have the fan email.
All right.
We have the TNA Impact Report.
All right.
And we have the Raw Report.
Okay.
Pretty busy. So before I get the show started, let's give out our website. The website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. And also, new to the website, we have a wrestling poll. I finally figured out how to put it on there, so we encourage all the listeners to go out there and vote. The current poll states, which wrestler's DVD should be released next? So go to the website, look at it, cast your vote, and in a couple of weeks we'll announce the winner of that. Probably we'll announce it about the time the Bret Hart DVD came out, since that's a good time span. So hopefully you guys go out there and vote. So I guess it's time for the news. Are you ready, Marcus?
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
All right. The first bit of news that we have is SmackDown wrestlers have been fined for being late to the TV tapings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some notable names were Batista and Randy Orton.
Yeah, they said the list went down to Sky Tihati all the way up to Dave, but the champion Batista.
As us wrestling fans, we're probably not aware, they have to arrive at the TV tapings at about 1 o'clock, but these individuals didn't show up about the 3:30.
Yeah, about that time.
And I guess WWE lately is having crackdowns and stuff.
Yeah, they have stricter policies, I guess.
The no video games, the new NBA, the new WWE dress code, where they have to wear suits, except for it's a few exceptions of people who don't have to wear suits. That's Mick Foley.
Okay.
Kane.
Yeah, those two make sense.
People who gimmick relies on them not wearing suits, about them
like
being
like Steve Austin.
Yeah, stuff like that. People who gimmick doesn't rely. So I guess everybody's moving into the PC world of let's make everybody corporate and wear suits.
Let's try to get a better, try to clean up the image, maybe.
I guess. The next note of news is Tajiri could be leaving WWE after his contract expired in February. Not just the WWE, wrestling in general. Oh, and wow. The reason is because of his wife. His wife is not able to obtain a driver's license here in the States. And so when he's out on the road, she's not able to go any place and she becomes very lonely. Mm-hmm. So he's considering quitting the business and returning to Japan to get this to be a news reporter.
So Jerry giving the news? Man, I have never pictured to Jerry just like, well, today, well, you know, he'd be Chinese. I think Japanese. He'd be like, oh, well, today there was a fire today, and 5 people died.
Well, I mean, personally, when I read this, I was hoping that Jerry would be leaving because, well, I really don't want him to leave, but he's a light heavyweight and he's on Raw.
He has no chance in gaining anywhere.
Yeah, so either he needs to go to SmackDown or go to TNA to move on.
News reporter? Maybe that's the best.
Maybe that's...
But maybe he has a journalistic degree somewhere.
But I can understand if his wife is being lonely. I mean, she can't drive.
Why can't she get a license? Did they ever say?
She probably just can't pass a test.
Oh.
It's a hard test, isn't it, Marcus?
Yeah, in some ways. It's a little difficult.
All right, the next news item is TNA will be having a 2-hour special on November 3rd, Thursday night, because they are being preempted by the Ultimate Fighter special that is airing on November 5th, their normal night of Saturday. 2 hours of TNA?
Hey! I mean, that's good for me. As long as they don't drag it on with 3 Live Crew or some other jobbers on there.
Well, they're going to be taping the episodes on October 25th and October 26th for the special, so... Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's not dragged out and they do it right, but who's to say that they will do it right?
I say should actually put a big match on there.
Actually, for me, considering TNA has really done not that much wrong with their shows, the last two shows that I watch have been fairly entertaining, and we will get more into the TNA show later on.
I would say TNA show's been better than the SmackDown shows as of late.
I'm gonna in my closing comments today, I'm probably gonna get some criticism for some things I'm about to say.
Okay, go
just
ahead.
To let you guys know. That's in the closing comments. The last news item is also a TNA news item. On TNAWrestlingNews.com, there's an interview with Kevin Nash. In this interview, he talks about Scott Hall, the future of TNA, his career, and a lot more. I read the interview. It was a pretty good interview. Mm-hmm. I mean, I found out that Kevin Nash is 46 years old and his knees are shot.
I knew that.
But also, he mentions that Scott Hall is going through some more demons.
Oh, no.
Oh, so man, what's wrong with Scott Hall?
Razor Ramon, Chico.
I don't know, but I would encourage everyone to go read the interview. It's at TNAWrestlingNews.com. All right, check it out. So I guess that's it for the news this week.
All right.
It's been a pretty light week, but what can you say? I guess coming up next will be the fan email.
The Sharpshooter Fan Email.
Welcome everyone to Fan Email, the Sharpshooter's Fan Email. We didn't get much mail this week, but we had enough. We had some mail from our normal listeners, Dannon and Floyd. And ironically, they both wanted more Hall of Fame questions. Marcus, go ahead.
Didn't we get another one from...
Yes, we will, but we'll mention that email after we talk about their emails.
Okay.
So, Dannon Floyd wants to know about the Hall of Fame worthiness of the following wrestlers. Floyd list included Eddie Guerrero. Marcus, is Eddie below in the Hall of Fame?
I'm going to say no.
As of right now, my opinion, he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. He hasn't done enough just yet. He's on the way there, but right now, he's kind of stuck in a rut because they really don't have no angles for him.
He just need a little bit more.
The next one is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, that's a guarantee. I mean, there's no chance that he isn't getting in. That's probably either the first or biggest name in wrestling history.
Well, the thing is, Stone Cold won't be getting in on his wrestling ability.
What?
He's going to be getting in more on his when he talks.
Man, he had good matches, man.
Yeah, but he's more entertaining than he is in wrestling. I'm just putting that out there that way.
He's getting in.
It's more because he pushed the edge of the wrestling business, and that's why he's going to get there. He made it okay to cuss and drink beer and all that good stuff. But, and he did the one thing that everybody wanted to do to their boss and just say, give him the big F you.
Mm-hmm. But I say he's in. I say he was a good wrestler. He was good enough. Before he broke his knees for like a second time, his neck, and all his other injuries, he was pretty good.
Like I'm saying, he's getting it because of his promo ability. If you agree with me, let us know. If you agree with Marcus, let him know. The next person is the Giant or Big Show. No, for me.
I think that's a no. You know, the Big Show, I'm going to say it's like one of the big disappointments. He could have been something big. And then
if you recall, he was bigger in WCW.
Yeah, but then he joined the NWO. And then ever since
Marcus,
then
that ruined everybody's career who joined the NWO.
Yeah, but it just seemed like it tinkered ever since then. It never.
All right, the next one from Floyd List is Paul Heyman. No, because the most claim to fame that he has is for ECW. So if ECW has a Hall of Fame, yes. As for going into the WWE Hall of Fame, I don't think he has done enough to be put into that.
I believe he deserved to be in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. If they're just playing just Wrestling Hall of Fame, he deserved to be in there, honestly. But I don't think he can be in the WWE Hall of Fame because he hasn't been there really long enough, if that's what you're referring to.
Now, the next wrestler, I'm just going to let everybody know, I'm going to say yes. And the only reason why I'm saying yes is simply because he was one of my favorite wrestlers, and that's Raven. Yes, Raven belongs in the Hall of Fame.
ECW Hall of Fame, that's it.
And also if there was a wrestling Hall of Fame, yes, he's been throughout the business a long time.
I'm not a big Raven guy.
And the last individual on Floyd's list was Sting.
Yeah, Sting goes into the Wrestling Hall of Fame. Not because he never wrestled in WWE to be in their Hall of Fame. But I put him in the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
You know what? When I first saw this list, I was considering Sting. I'm not sure, but But after watching a certain DVD and found out that he was tag team's partner was an individual, I feel that, guess what? He can't go into the Hall of Fame.
He's in there. Sting, man. The Stinger Splash. The Scorpion Deathlock. His matches with Ric Flair and all his other matches, man. He's like, he's Stinger. The Stinger.
All right. And Stinger's Dead and List there. Incorporated people that are already in the Hall of Fame. And he wanted
to explain the concepts of Dead and List because this is that, different from Floyd.
That's what I'm about to do. But okay. You keep continue to cut me off.
I'm sorry. I just have to, you know, let make me do sure it. You're doing the job right.
I'm doing the job right. Okay. Can you just be the color man and let me be the announcer? I know my job.
Okay.
All right. Robot. Dead and List actually incorporates individuals that are already in the Hall of Fame, and he wants us to debate and see, do they really deserve being there? The first person on his list is Jimmy Snuka. Personally, no. For me, for Jimmy Snuka.
Jimmy Snuka's in there, man.
So I know he's in there. I know he's in there.
He deserves to be in there.
Why? He really won no major title? Did he ever win a belt?
It doesn't matter. He's Jimmy Snuka. He was the most innovative wrestlers of all time. One of the first few wrestlers to really jump over the top rope. And
the man didn't wrestle with no shoes on.
I don't care. Jimmy Snuka's... Come on, man. Hey. Come on, Jimmy Snuka.
I'm sorry.
What's your taste?
I wasn't a big Jimmy Snuka fan. No. Andre the Giant, yes, he deserves absolutely. To be there. Just because Andre revolutionized the side. He did what the Giant couldn't do. And that's... Actually used his size. He was very limited in the ring, but he used his size to his advantage.
And he had a lot of personality in the ring and a lot of character outside the ring. He was larger than life at one point. Probably one of the biggest names in wrestling history. Probably like in the top five. All right. Names
the next person is Roddy Piper. My opinion is yes, simply because Roddy Piper was the old version of Steve Austin. He was the guy that pushed the borderlines before it was cool to do it. Hit the Piper Pit. His matches were, you know, pretty good, but just his demeanor made him the star that he was.
Yep, he was in movies. And he, you know, he had a boxing, he was a boxer and all that. Roddy Piper deserved to be in there. No question about it. He would have killed, came out with the bagpipe music. Great character, great wrestler, Hall of Famer.
Okay, the next individual, Ted DiBiase, I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame.
I think he is.
If he is or if he isn't, he does deserve to be in there because the Million Dollar Man gimmick was like the best gimmick ever. Can you guys ever remember? He was a heel his entire career. Never once was he a good guy.
No. On Cheap Seats, I think he was a good guy. I saw what footage from Midwestern Wrestling or something. He was a good guy.
But okay, let's put it this way. In his WWE tenure, he was never a good guy. Mm. Everybody had a price and God did. Well, he wasn't a good guy per se, but fans still cheered him when they didn't boo him.
The $1 million belt, man.
Yeah,
sticking $5 down your throat after you lose the match. He had a personal slave by the name of Virgil.
And it was okay with the people.
Yeah. And, you know, he had Virgil shining his shoes.
I just want to say something, though. I prefer Virgil as the personal slave than in wrestling.
Yeah, Virgil.
That was really bad. All right, and the last person on the list is a no question. He just went in this year. It's Hulk Hogan. Not for his matches. Well, at his time, his matches were what they should have been, but for what he did for the business. Hulk Hogan probably put wrestling on the mainstream, him versus Andre the Giant.
He put it on the map. Hulk Hogan's in there. Nothing else we can say about Hogan.
Yeah, Hogan is
He's
there.
He's the person now. You take your vitamins, talk to God, all your vegetables.
Yeah, no, Hogan really, I don't know if he ever talked to God.
No, but he always said, you know, say your prayers
and stuff, but he wasn't talking to God, like the Ultimate Warrior.
Well, speaking of the Ultimate Warrior, I'm not going to jump the script. This is on the same basis. During the match, though, it's something I had to point out. I was watching the match, and it ended. Hogan lost, right?
Yeah.
And then Hogan points up into the sky. I'm like, is this dude yelling at God? It's just funny as hell. Like, all right. Ah.
If you guys don't know what the hell Marcus just rambled about, we saw the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior, and as we said on the next show, we're going to have a review of that DVD. So, that concludes... Oh, also, we had one more email. We had an email from Wiggly from the Smart Wrestling Fans Podcast. He said that he doesn't listen to many other wrestling podcasts, but he actually listens to ours, and he enjoys the show. So, we just want to say give a shout-out to Wiggly at the Smart Wrestling Fans Podcast and say we listen to your show sometimes and we actually enjoy the show.
It's always good.
It's always good
feedback from other podcasts.
Exactly. Especially when the podcast that they do is roughly the same thing as we do. It's nice to see that different types of individuals can come together and respect good shows. So
I haven't even listened to the show, by the way, but I soon will.
I listen to the show. Marcus is just he's in his own world.
I don't listen to other podcasts about wrestling because it might alter. It's kind of like the Vince Scully effect.
Whatever. Anyway, I did. Marcus is a loser. We're moving on. We want to thank everybody for the emails that we received. Please keep them coming because I do like doing the fan email segment, but if we don't receive email, we will not do this segment. So, coming up next will be the TNA Impact Report for October 15, 2005. We'll see you guys in a few seconds.
Just because you like to destroy all the things that bring the idiots joy. Well, what's wrong with a little destruction? And a cool 20...
All right, the TNA Impact Report for October 15, 2005. TNA Impact. Marcus, did you enjoy the show?
I enjoyed pretty much the end and a few segments in it.
All right. Well, the show opened up with Monty Brown versus a Mikey Batts and a Jarrell Clark in a handicap match. This was one of the quickest matches of the night, and I believe this is actually Monty Brown's first match on TNA Impact in their two episodes.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's his very first match.
He's made appearances, but yeah. I'm
going to get the names messed up, but what happens is, as Monty Brown comes out to the ring, one of the individuals, I believe is Mikey Batts, jumps out, he catches him, slams him against the ring pole. Pretty much, it turns into a major whooping by Monty Brown, where he delivers the pounce and then pins both individuals. Probably the most important thing that happened after this match is, once again, they're setting up for the pay-per-view. It's Lance Hoyt comes out, who's another big guy who I honestly have never seen wrestle before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Monty Brown flees, and it goes from there.
He kind of looks like Tess.
It's like a mix between Tess and Kevin Nash when he was Diesel.
And Tomko.
And you just wanted to bring up Tomko, didn't you?
I need to bring up Steel Blue Tomko.
Overall, I liked the match. Marcus probably didn't like the match.
I didn't like the match.
Because he doesn't like Monty Brown. I thought it was quick, got to the point, moved on.
I hate handicap matches when, you know, the people just going to get their ass whooped. I just don't like that. I don't like Monty Brown, period.
Yeah, and after that, they cut backstage to Marcus' favorite legend in wrestling, Larry Zbysko.
He's not my favorite legend. I do not like Sugar Bear.
And he was discussing about next week, the tag team championship match between that he just set up between the Naturals and American Most Wanted. Mm-hmm. But before he could finish, if everyone noticed in the show, he was surrounded by security. No one knew why. Next thing you know, here comes Raven coming out, popping up. Like, you screwed me. You do all this. You did this and all this. What I don't like about this whole angle, they're not really giving us no reason. I understand that Jeff Jarrett screwed Raven. But, I mean, for a guy who just been screwed, this is the most promotion that he's getting about. They're more promoting Jeff Jarrett and Kevin Nash than referring to Raven being screwed off the belt.
He's being excluded off the show. Maybe that's what they're going for. So he don't be on the show. Maybe like the Matt Hardy thing when they didn't want to actually address that he's actually been screwed or whatever.
I don't know. All I got to say is I don't know if Kevin Nash is going to win the belt or not. Probably not because of Jeff Jarrett.
I doubt it.
But the more likely, though, they need to go back and address this whole Raven situation. I mean, he was a champion. Apparently, he got screwed right before they start airing on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of ironically that Jeff Jarrett wanted to be the champ when his own another channel.
Hey, leave Jarrett alone. He wants the belt. Let him keep his belt.
Okay. Moving on. The next match of the night was Matt Bentley, Shawn Michaels' cousin, with Tracy. Versus David Young with Simon Diamond. Personally, I have no idea who Simon Diamond is, but I haven't watched enough TNA to really know who that is. But this was actually a fairly good match.
It was pretty good. That's all I can say.
Honestly, Matt Bentley fights a lot like his cousin. He has the elbow, and his finishing move is the super kick.
Yeah, of course.
I thought
they're really cousins.
Yeah, apparently that's what they are. He trained them. That's what Tanay said last week.
Well, Tanay says everything.
I thought another thing that was funny. I didn't know this, but apparently there's a move called the Bentley Bounce, and you bounce from side to side, and the fans were doing it.
It looked fun to me, but anyway,
Bentley defeats David Young with the Bentley kick, if they call that the super kick. And then right after that, Marcus' favorite X Division superstar, Petey Williams, comes out and attacks Bentley and hits Bentley with the Canadian Destroyer.
AKA the flipping power driver, the greatest finish move in wrestling.
And
history.
Then also he, before he even hits Bentley with the Canadian, he's flirting with Tracy. And then last thing you know, he puts a big kisser on Tracy and gives her a big fat kiss.
You old snoot.
And of course, he was interrupted by Chris Sabin, who he comes in for the save. And I believe they're all involved in a triple threat match at Bound for Glory.
Well, you really didn't bring up what he actually saved. He had Tracy up for the...
Oh, yeah, he was going to do the Canadian Destroyer on Tracy.
And he was just spanking her, you know.
Yeah, and then Chris Sabin came out. I was pretty sure that he wasn't going to do the Canadian Destroyer on her because I think you have to be a certain type of wrestler to be able to do that move because I think the person who's getting the thing done is doing a lot of the work of the move personally. Mm-hmm. What can you say?
It's a difficult move.
And so the next thing was probably my favorite segment of the whole show.
Yeah, it's not mine. Not mine.
Oh, well, it's not Marcus, but no. I enjoyed... Well, a segment, though. It's not a match.
Oh, yeah, it's not a match, but it's a segment.
It's
okay.
A segment.
It was like the only segment.
It was the funeral for Team 3D.
A.K.A. the Dudley Boys.
Pretty much, it opens in, and they show the guest list, and it's funny, ironically, on the guest list, they had Paul and Stephanie in attendance.
A.K.A. Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
Linda and Vince.
Linda McMahon.
And they had Paul H., true, they weren't there. The only people that were in attendance were Team Canada, AMW, Jeff Jarrett and Gail Kim, Abyss, and James Mitchell.
What the hell, Abyss?
So because James Mitchell was there.
I know, but I just can't stand Abyss.
I can't stand Abyss either, but James Mitchell was giving the eulogy, and pretty much everybody in the back is doing what they want to do. The American Most Wanted had the nerve. They're back there drinking or doing. Yeah. They're doing stuff.
None of them have to use the bathroom.
Yeah. And Team Canada got hockey sticks banging it upside and down. And Jared and Gail Kim were just sitting there looking cool.
And Jared had a pink shirt.
He had a pink shirt.
The pink shirt.
And pretty much they give the eulogy for Terry 3D. And then James Mitchell asked AMW to come up and give a closing words. And they did. They were the main reason why they felt that they beat up T3D is because they felt they don't want no outside individuals coming in, taking their shine, and when they already established their names.
Okay, aka nobody from WWE should come in and try to take their shine, pretty much.
Pretty much. No one should come in and be able to get a title.
Nobody should beat Jeff Jarrett.
No, then another reason. Then they explain why they aligned themselves with Jeff Jarrett, talking about for the money, the power, and the respect.
Money, the money.
I think the best part about the whole thing, though, is at the end, James Storm, a member of Merkle One, is peeing inside of the coffin because he was hinting that he had to pee really bad. Yeah. And Chris Harris, his partner, stops and says, "Come on, man, get out here." And then show Storm walking up trying to pull up his pants. Overall, it was a funny skit. They said they're going to be back next week for the funeral for Kevin Nash. Probably so, because Jeff Jarrett's going to win somehow.
I say he's going
to
win.
I have to say, Jeff Jarrett has a pretty strong faction, Team Canada, AMW, and then Abyss, even though I don't like Abyss, but still.
I don't see why. Does his faction even have a name? Or is it just a bunch of random names inside his faction?
It's just Jarrett. Jarrett and Jarrett. I mean, what can you say? After that, it was the match between, it was an ECW memory match. It was Rhino versus Sabu. Pretty much, not much really to talk about in this match. Pretty much all I remember, they started hitting chairs against each other. Sabu dropped his. Rhino, I believe, hit him with a chair.
Yeah, not as good as an ECW.
And anyway, Rhino wins with a gore. Then after that, here comes Abyss coming out fighting, boom, boom, boom. And he's beating him up. And he gets his bag of tacks, and he's about to, I guess, do a Mick Foley, throw him in the ring. And that's when Enigma Jeff Hardy comes out for the save.
The charismatic Enigma.
It don't matter.
To the extreme.
And then pretty much what happens is they all square off in the four corners of the ring.
Setting it up for Monster Ball 2. When they're in the room, in the dark, no lights.
No food.
No water.
And they release just right before the match. And pretty much they run all to the center room about to attack, and here comes security. And I have never seen security being able to break up wrestlers, but apparently in this one, they did. But TNA does another good job of setting up their pay-per-view match. After this is probably Marcus' favorite match of the whole night. His new boy, the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, was in a 15-minute Styles Challenge. Pretty much with this match. Iron Man Challenge, Style Challenge, whatever you want to call it. This match was that AJ Styles were going to pick three opponents for the Fallen Angel to face off, and the Fallen Angel had to defeat these guys in 15 minutes.
And number one,
the number one person that he fought was the Shark Boy.
Shark Boy!
Christopher Daniels whooped his ass.
Yeah, it was very quick.
It was a quick. Next person that he fought was a Sonja Dutt. Now, before, let me give a brief history. Okay. I remember Tanae was saying that this guy was touring India, and he's a big fan over there. He came up there. He gave Christopher Daniels a run for his money.
He gave him a hell of a time. He fought him to two commercial breaks,
yeah, pretty much. And pretty much he fought him down to about roughly 2 to 3 minutes left in the match.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing.
It once again, the X Division is amazing the hell out of us.
That dude was great. It was off the chain.
Off the chain. And then the last person in this Iron Man challenge was, honestly, it could be predictable if we watched enough TNA, but
it was predictable for me.
You knew AJ Styles was going to be the third opponent?
Yeah.
Anyway, the third opponent was AJ Styles.
The Phenomenal.
My favorite X Division wrestler. They put on a pretty good match for about 2 minutes. And then, of course, the time ran out.
And Christopher Daniels had lost.
To tell you the truth, didn't understand the concept of the match at the beginning. I didn't know that he had to defeat everybody in it. But after I finished watching the show, I was like, oh, that's how it worked.
Well, I was like, he should just be able to survive that, man. Come on, Shark Boy. Nobody can handle Shark Boy.
Marcus, don't even try to give Shark Boy more credit than what he deserves.
Shark Boy is talented.
Well, anyway, that was the TNA report. Overall, it was a fairly entertaining show for an hour. Mm-hmm. I'm really interested to see how this two-hour spectacle is going to go, because I'm able to sit through an hour worth of TNA. Now, the testament is, can I sit through 2 hours worth of TNA?
I think I could if they don't mess it up. I think they should just have a pretty much do like a Raw Homecoming kind of thing and, you know, have big matches for this two-hour thing so they can promote their show, and then maybe they can move that show TNA to Monday to compete with the first hour of Raw.
I'm pretty sure that they are.
Or SmackDown.
I'm pretty sure that they are going to have big matches because, as you see, each week the matches are getting bigger and bigger. I mean, first is the Christopher Daniels match this week. Next week, the Tag Team Championship match.
Yeah, the Nationals versus America must win.
The first title match of their Impact history.
And I think the first time the Nationals ever fought on TNA. Maybe the first appearance on TNA. I haven't really seen them.
No, on Impact. On Impact, yeah. So, I look forward to seeing that match because I'm also a fan of the Naturals. And pretty much, I like almost every tag team in TNA. Because
they're tag teams.
And there's only one belt.
They're matching and it's not split rosters.
Yeah, it's not just putting people together.
It's not Murdoch and Cage.
Murdoch and Cage is actually a tag team per se.
I'm not really a fan of them.
Yeah, but they're a tag team.
A tag team is Hurricane and Hosey.
We're in the TNA report. We can't talk about WWE stuff in TNA. They don't get along. They got beef.
Yeah.
So, all right, coming up next will be the WWE Raw Report. We'll see you guys in another couple of seconds. Cause you're kissing or all of a jerk. Cause you're on the supermarket up too. Well, who gives a damn about the puppets on the table? Did I see what you really seen? Fling out the fish and the other bean. Turn the rich into white and you walk on the mean. Well, the father of the virtuous among us. Walk among us. Welcome to WWE Raw Report for October 17th, 2005.
Forget the lies, the money. I ain't gonna say.
Okay, yeah, stop that, Marcus. So, Marcus, how did you feel about this Raw?
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. Wasn't that your feeling about last week?
No, my last week was ooh. Well, no, my last week was groovy.
A couple of things was noticeable about this week of Raw. Just want everybody know I miss JR. But before we get into that, let's start off how the show started off. The show starts off with this man coming out, and his music hits. And very noticeably, because the cameraman made the delivery that there were no announcers sitting at the ringside out there. Vince discusses Taboo Tuesday.
Taboo Tuesday.
Marcus, most hated pay-per-view of all.
Most hated pay-per-view. Yeah, yo, you said it. The title.
Also talk about how he was so proud of Linda for firing JR, how she went about it, that she's a true McMahon. Yeah. And also that she's going to be addressing the fans from the headquarters of Connecticut later on in the show. Mm-hmm. Also, the rumor about a certain individual showing up for Raw tonight, which was Steve Austin, which got a huge pop from the crowd.
Of course.
And then he gave a JR tribute. Now, the tribute that he gave wasn't really a tribute. It was more of, we gonna show every bad thing we put JR through.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I mean, it's hilarious because, man, JR's been in a lot of situations, man. I mean, he got set on fire. I forgot about the fire thing inside. So
the kiss like, Vince butt incident.
Yeah, he just got pushed in there and just getting beat up in tag matches.
The blood and all that good stuff.
You didn't realize how much hell that man been through.
And then, of course, after he shows us, he announces the new lead announcer, Jonathan Coachman, as we're going to refer to him throughout this entire podcast, the coach. The coach came out sporting a black cowboy hat. It's okay, Marcus. It's okay.
Something sad.
And, well, the coach came out, and Vince went backstage, and coach was rambling. I was already being annoyed by the coach because not only was the coach being annoying, but he was also taking shots at JR and being really sarcastic.
It was just really bad. The whole night, his commentary was just awful.
And he's not ready to be.
And he hurt the King a little bit, too.
Well, I'm going to get into the whole King and Coachman relationship a little bit later, probably at the end when we do the recap.
Mm-hmm.
So after, you know, he goes on his rant, they cut backstage and you see Kurt Angle confronting Vince McMahon talking about before they were interrupted, mm-hmm. he was going to announce the number one contender.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't, quite frankly, guess what happens after that? He's interrupted again by the Hurricane and the Hurricane asks Vince what's up with the firing of JR.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of Vince addressing the situation,
he
treats Angle like a dog and says, sick him. And well, Kurt Angle whoops Hurricane butt.
Well, Angle's been looking like a dog.
Yeah, that lately.
That mouthpiece.
So,
man.
Pretty much, Angle whoops Hurricane out into the ring.
Not an official match. Hurricane got some good licks, though.
No, it wasn't an official match. At a point, I thought it was starting to be an official match because Hurricane made a comeback.
Yeah, it looked like it could have been a good match.
Hurricane shows that he can actually wrestle, and he has shown this before. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, he's stuck in the tag team division with a tag team partner. As Marcus says, we need to have Hurricane turn dirty.
Or he needs to turn to SmackDown and become a cruiserweight and be dirty as a champion.
Which would be great. So anyway, after Kurt whoops up Hurricane, they cut back to the backstage, and Vince is now speaking with Bischoff.
General manager
Eric Bischoff, and Vince is putting his nose into the general manager business again. He announces what the main event for Taboo Tuesday was going to be and the type of fan interaction it was going to be. He said that it was going to be a triple threat mm-hmm. match for the WWE Championship with John Cena versus Kurt Angle mm-hmm. versus a player to be named to be picked in by the fans.
After the qualification matches.
The qualification matches that Vince announced would be Shawn Michaels versus Carlito,
mm-hmm.
Edge versus The Big Show, and then to top it off of, which kind of got me excited, was an 18-man battle royal. At the end of the show.
It didn't get me that excited. Well, it did at first, but then when, I get into it later.
Yeah, but.
I'll get into it later.
No, like I said, it got me excited at that time, but yeah. The battle royal had flaws.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so that was pretty much the very opening of the show, and they went to mm-hmm. commercial. After commercial, the first qualifying match occurred.
Yeah.
It was Edge versus The Big Show. And I'm going to say this. Personally, this was probably one of the best Big Show matches I've seen him in a long time.
I don't know. Regular matches, you mean?
Like a regular Big Show, to me, you know, like when he's in a regular match, that'd be on either Raw or SmackDown.
He's beating up jobbers and him.
Yeah, and they're really boring. But this was actually a well-paced match. Mm-hmm. Ed fought the Big Show like the Big Show was a giant, and the mm-hmm. Big Show fought like he was a giant.
Yeah, he didn't look like a coward and just could, one punch could take him down. He looked like he could take a few blows.
Yeah, he was taking some blows, and Edge had to put some work in. And of course, how the match was going to end was Edge was going to go for a cheating move. He was going to hit him with the Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Right before he was going to hit Big Show with the Money in the Bank, JBL music hit.
I thought the match had ended for some reason. I thought the referee had caught Edge doing something. Yeah. So I was like, what?
And then it's JBL music. I'm like, JBL, what's going on? And, you know, of course, like everybody on it, you're waiting for the limo to pull out and JBL comes out. Mm-hmm. Never happens. As Edge turns around, shot, Big Show catch him with the chokeslams him, clean finish, 1, 2, 3.
Now, honestly, this match surprised me. I didn't really honestly think the Big Show would win the match. I thought Edge would win, honestly, personally. Maybe they didn't want Edge to win because he already has the Money in the Bank.
Well, no, there's a couple of things, and I'm going to stress after we go through all the qualifying matches at the end mm-hmm. because these matches are very predictable. What I didn't understand is why is Edge in this match? Technically, because he does have Money in the Bank. If he feels like he wants to add himself to that triple threat match, can't he do that actually contractually and make it a fatal four-way?
Or why don't he just set himself a match, a more fair match with him versus John Cena, 1-on-1 the week before, Or the day before, well, because Raw is on Monday, Taboo Tuesday.
I'm pretty sure they don't want to waste that type of match on a Raw. I mean, not to say.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, logically.
So after the Big Show choke slams Edge, they go to a commercial. And then after the commercial come back, Edge is back there complaining to the GM again, Eric Bischoff, about why did JBL music hit and he's tired of these SmackDown people and all that. And then Bischoff says, well, what is he going to do about it? And Edge says, well, you need to tune in on SmackDown for Friday and you'll find out what I'm going to do about it. So pretty much it was a way to plug SmackDown, knowing that Raw is a more popular show, to see what Edge is going to do to the SmackDown.
And what I predict he's going to do is probably beat up Matt Hardy.
No, just actually, no.
Oh, wait, Matt Hardy's not even on SmackDown.
Well, he's supposed to be on SmackDown, and on the reports, well, we wasn't going to spoil it and say that.
I forgot.
No, it doesn't matter, because it was reported all on WWE website that he's a member of SmackDown, and he was going to be on there. The thing was, he was going to be on the Peep Show, which, personally, I think they from what I understand on the internet, that they might replace him with Edge, considering that Christian is still Edge's brother. So why not have Edge on the Peep Show to talk about JBL?
Yeah.
It makes sense. So
it's not his brother, you know.
I know, but that's the angle they have, Mark.
They still go with the angle.
I
haven't heard them say, Edge's brother, like
they mentioned Kane as Undertaker's brother.
Yeah, but that's obvious, but, you know.
It's no truth, but still, it's just the point.
You're supposed to mention that, but the Edge and them, they haven't really brought that up since they broke up.
I'm pretty sure they're going to bring it up if he does appear on the Peep Show.
In my opinion, they can the Peep Show, period.
Well, I think they need to can all the shows. Yeah. Speaking of shows, the next segment was the Carlito's Cabana. His special guest was Mick Foley. This interview, they were talking, and Mick Foley was talking about he was disappointed that Linda turned on JR and all that good stuff. And right when he saw, the heifer hops up on the screen live from Connecticut.
Yo, Southern Jezebel.
She talks about, you know, JR surgery and how they wish him the best.
And how they sue. If he tried to sue, they will counter sue and way to put all their money on Judge Judy.
Yeah, so pretty much it was. I think it was a way of them actually sending out real wishes to JR, but also prolonging the storyline. After that, Mick Foley goes on his rant with Carlito. Talking about, you gonna spit an apple at me? And it ain't the first time I ever been spitted on.
He ain't cool, and you're cool, and he don't want to be cool because you're cool.
Yeah.
And fans are cool because they're not you. It just went on.
And you know, and you're waiting for an attack on Mick Foley or Carlito to attack Foley.
No attack happens.
Mick Foley walks out, which is ironic because the next match following the Cabana was Carlito versus Shawn Michaels.
The best match of the night.
Another qualifying match.
In my opinion, the best match of the night.
Marcus, so once again, you saying Carlito had a good match?
He had a good match, and the shocking thing is that his finishing move didn't work against Shawn.
Wait! He had a finishing move?
You know, the roll-up! He had the ropes! You know, his finishing move.
That's no figuring move.
His finishing maneuver is rolling you up, grabbing the top rope, getting the 1, 2, 3. It didn't work on Shawn.
Well, anyway, Carlito decided he's going to try to get a chair and hit Michaels with the chair. It backfires. Shawn Michaels giving him the sweet chair music. And Shawn Michaels is also qualified to be voted for.
The referee was knocked out, by the way.
Just to let you guys know, he was knocked out.
Of course, it's routine for him to get knocked out.
And ironically, as Michaels is walking out, and I was wondering, why did they not go to a commercial? As he walking out, you see Ric Flair comes out with bandage and all. He walks out to the ring, and then they go to commercial.
He did.
Now, coming back was the Ric Flair moment, as I like to call it. To me, I'm going to say I was really disturbed by this whole speech, personally, because Ric Flair is crazy as hell. I'm put it out there that way. He takes the bandage off, and he start beating himself and smearing blood all over him, talking about, Triple H, you think you can end me and all this good stuff? Yeah, and
he was in the plane crash, and you know, everybody know about the plane crash that crashed and ended his back, and they say he never wrestled again. 6 months later, he was in the ring, and he had gold.
I didn't know about the umbrella story, though. If that was a true story.
Was he in the book?
I don't know. I don't recall. I read the book a long time ago. But he brought up the fact that he was in a situation.
Yeah, he was getting off the airport.
And the guy handed him his umbrella, lightning strike, and it hit the guy that was next to him.
And killed the guy.
Killed the other wrestler.
He was another wrestler.
Just like the plane crash where everybody else died except for him and the pilot, I believe. So, ironic, he's saying that no one can end him, and
he's not afraid. Meaning, he's not afraid of Triple H.
Yeah. So Triple H comes out there, And which kind of was ironic to me is that he was running from Ric Flair because Ric Flair chased him out to the ring. Triple H didn't even get to talk. So my thing is,
Ric Flair had a bath though. You got to throw that in. He wasn't just running from the
Dukes. You know what?
Dukes.
I guess that does give
him
a point.
He running from the Dukes.
Yeah.
The Dukes.
So pretty much they're setting up a really good angle between Ric Flair and Triple H. Pretty much will probably be an excellent match at Taboo Tuesday. More than likely, what they're going to do, what we're going to vote for on that match is what type of match is going to be.
And I believe it's probably going to be, the match they should have, an I Quit match, because, you know, Ric Flair wants Flair to retire, right? Or a Last Man Standing match. Or you can just put him in a cage.
I think what they're going to go with, they're going to go with cage, Last Man Standing, and a hardcore match.
You mean no holds barred? Or
no holds barred. Yeah, something. I take that back. Not a hardcore, a street brawl. Street brawl rules. Even though it's the same thing, but you know what I mean.
You can have them in the street. But you don't think the I Quit match
was appropriate? I don't think they want to do the I Quit match, but because he's still the champion. And Triple H don't want to be the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, but
he would have to drop the belt before the thing.
But wouldn't they give the Intercontinental Championship more cred? Intercontinental
Championship didn't get no cred because... Yeah, I don't know if I'm the only one that noticed, but Ric Flair didn't come out with the belt on.
Yeah, you weren't the only one.
So, to me, that kind of disrespect the belt if, hey.
Come on, give it to Curran White or Shelton or somebody out there.
Yeah, you know, give it to somebody.
Give it to Viscerals. At least give it to somebody.
Don't give it to Viscerals? Come on, man.
I was just throwing out names, okay?
Give it to a Tiss Tattoo partner, Venus, before you give it to him.
Venus or somebody.
After that, they go to commercial, and they come back, and Carlito is being interviewed by Maria. And he blames...
Mick Foley
for losing the match.
I don't see where the blame come in. Maybe he worked him up.
I don't know. I don't know where this came from. Mm-hmm. But once again, they're setting up another match for Taboo Tuesday.
Which is in 2 weeks. We haven't said that.
It's in 2 weeks, so the Tuesday. I know what the stipulation is supposedly going to be, but I'm not going to say because I think they're announcing it next week on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been saying it's a stupid stipulation to me, personally.
I like it.
Okay.
I like the stipulation. Well, is it really a spoiler?
Yeah, it is.
It is?
Because they haven't announced it yet, and so
okay. We're
going to save that out of there. The match directly following this little segment was a very quick match, short match as that. It was Mickie James, Trish Stratus, Ashley versus Victoria, Tori Wilson, and Candice Michelle.
They were there! I didn't see them.
But
today.
No, let me explain something to you. Mm-hmm. The match was quick simply because the only person that did wrestle on that team was Victoria.
Yeah.
And Victoria scores a win because... Mickie James was in the ring, and she was dominating
Victoria.
And then before...
She was going to do whatever.
She took her eyes off trying to impress
Trish.
Yeah, getting thumbs up and stuff. And right then, that's where...
Roll up
got her. 1, 2, 3. The match is over. After that, she was a little bitter. And, well, guess what happened? Yeah. She does
the Stratus faction.
Victoria and like that. And then right after that match, showing how important this match was, and like they cut to Steve Austin pulling into the stadium.
Yep. And man, Steve Austin came in like a bat out of hell. His Steve Austin custom made truck coming in like at 100 miles per hour. Every turn was like zigs and zagging and crashing and everything.
Now, I'm going to say this right now. This is my favorite segment of all Arrested TNA and Raw.
Went a little long.
It went long, but at least it had points. It went long, but then it had its funny moments and Steve Austin. So, after this, you know, Steve Austin comes out there, and he's ranting and raving about how he feel that they did JR wrong and all his...
And how is it his fault?
His fault and good stuff like that. And he calls Vince out to the ring. Of course, Vince doesn't come out to the ring.
It's Daddy's Little Girl.
And Stephanie, her music hits. And I have to say, they had probably one of the most entertaining interactions of the whole night. It was
probably
a couple of great one-liners. One thing that Steve Austin said is, Stephanie says, "You look disappointed to see me." He said, he doesn't understand what's wrong with the McMahon family. He said they seem obsessed with balls and grapefruits, which, because you know how last week she was talking about her grapefruits and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Am I about to slam a transvestite?" which got a
his first stunner into a transvestite.
Yeah.
Not slam.
That's true. I'm glad you got that, Marcus. I'm sorry, my show.
Also, ain't never did a bias lift.
That's true.
Except when he was a golden blonde or whatever he was.
And then she kept rambling on, and then he said something else that was funny. That got a huge pop. He said, "Since you're in the ring, what if I just put you over my knee, pull your little dress off, and have to be careful because I don't want your balls to fall out. That got, like, the greatest lie ever. I laugh. Uh-huh. And then, you know, they rambled on for some more, and then Stephanie came up with a proposition. Mm-hmm. She said, I got a proposition for you, but not the kind you want to hear. And Austin said, I don't think I got a 20 on me. Pretty much saying that she was offering some type of form of sex, which was hilarious. And they went back to back.
Yeah.
And then eventually, the stipulation that Stephanie had was that if Austin beats the coach at Taboo Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
that it could get JR reinstated.
Now.
Or he would be fired.
Yeah, if he doesn't win, he'd be fired. Now, here's the question about this. Couldn't there be somebody under the coach? I mean, really? Or put the king versus the coach, or just something around there.
No, well, no. Steve Austin has to be there. But my question is the coach going to lose? Is Steve Austin going to? I mean, if the coach loses, I mean, is this the way that they're going to get JR back? Because of course they do have a lot of bad, and I mean bad publicity over this whole situation.
I mean, wrestlers like Lance Storm has been criticized. I've been criticized.
I'll be there. Master Rock on TRL.
Yeah. Smiling and stuff.
So anyway, after that, Steve Austin decides he's going to go harass the coach, pours beer into his hat,
slaps his microphone,
and puts it on his head, and says that you have the first shot to hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he doesn't do it.
And say he's saving it for Taboo Tuesday.
Saving it for Taboo Tuesday. Funny skit. Did run a little bit long. They could have cut a lot of the verbiage out, but I think the best thing was the interaction between Steve Austin and Stephanie, because they sound like an old married couple. When she was trying to talk over him and he was talking over her, it just wasn't working. Yeah. Overall, pretty good segment. After that, probably was the most disappointing thing to me the whole entire freaking night. That's the 18-man Battle Royal.
Yeah, and the thing about the Battle Royal that really disgusted me was that I knew who was going to win as soon as Bischoff had already came out to ringside. He's on the ramp talking about Taboo Tuesday and, you know, whatnot. And then he introduces, like, remember there was a, Kane was going to return, and then Kane returns. And right then and there, I was like, yep, he's winning the Battle Royale.
Well, that's not even also something else that's not predict how that match was so predictable, too. You realize, think of the people that were inside the ring. I mean, you had some people in there that had no business being there.
Okay, let's just go down this. Val Venus.
Val Venus was in there. Viscera was in there. Snitsky was in there.
Kerwin White.
Shelton.
Hey, let's bring up that. They was having a hell of a time.
I'm going to bring that up. The heartthrobs. It was a lot of things going on.
A lot of people that shouldn't be in there. Conway.
It was pretty much, it was only two people in that ring that had the possibility to win it.
Chris Masters.
And Kane. Now, like Marcus said, it was pretty predictable that Kane was going to win because they hyped his return. Mm-hmm. So overall,
what I would have liked is this: instead of a battle royale, they should have had Chris Masters versus Kane.
Pretty much.
And you know, Kane did break the mask a lot.
No, they didn't officially say it, did they? No, he didn't.
Because he never locked it in.
Because he never locked it in.
He broke it. I mean, if he broke that part, I mean, come on.
But overall. And this was my whole problem with Raw the whole night. It was very predictable about the qualifying matches. Because,
well, it's a big show. I didn't really know. Honestly.
No, because think about it. The fans are voting for these people, right? Mm-hmm. So you're not going to put heels in there. No one likes Chris Masters, so no one's going to vote for Chris Masters. No one really cares too much for Carlito. Well, people do.
People care. He was getting that and cool chance
no,
out there.
But that's not enough people out there to really make the voting look good. Mm-hmm. And no one really cares for Edge right now. So, of course, that everyone who's going to win the qualification matches were going to be baby faces. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, that really sucks. Also with the Battle Royale. Very predictable simply because there's only two really main eventers that was in the ring. Mm-hmm. Kane, who was hyped last week of returning, and Chris Masters, who was just put into the ring.
Hyped every week after.
And so now his glory is going down. I don't know why, though, because he's one of the best bad guys on the show now, because everybody hates Chris Masters.
And he was improving in the ring, personally.
Yes.
Yeah, Marat kind of watches that. Anyway. Anyway, where were we? The Battle Royale. Anyway, speaking of the Battle Royale, my boy, Shelton Benjamin, and Chavo Guerrero, formerly known as, well, now known as Curtin White,
were having a hell of a match in the corner. They were flipping, they were fighting, and you know what? I'm going to go watch Heat because they were in the main event of Heat.
They are?
No, not this week, but last week. Yes.
Well, but they have good matches every time you see them on Raw, but, you know, I don't watch Heat, but, you know, they have good matches on there. I mean, they deserve more TV time.
Overall, Raw was decent. Like, it was an eh. Very predictable. Best thing to me was Steve Austin. Steve Austin being on air. Make him look color, man.
And, yeah.
Oh, that's my other beef with the show is that I don't know if anybody else noticed this, but the roles in the announce was reversed.
Yeah.
Coach is the bad guy announcer, and JR was the good guy.
And it just didn't work, in my opinion.
In my opinion, JR, I mean, Jerry, not JR, the Lawler cannot be the good guy announcer. He was supporting Cena. He was supporting Michaels.
It just didn't work in that direction.
My whole career of watching wrestling, and I'm going to call it a career because it's like a job, man, because we do this show. Lawler's been the bad guy.
I mean, at one point in his career, he was in the Royal Rumble, got thrown out in like 3 seconds. At one point, he was screwing Bret Hart in the Kiss My Feet match.
Marcus,
stuff.
I'm about to say something that you might even take something more outlandish than you might even slap me on this one.
Okay.
Michael Cole is better than Jonathan Coachman.
I'm not going to slap you because Michael Cole is much better than Jonathan Coachman.
Coachman suck. Coach is a color man. He's a color. He gives a nice chiming here and there. But he doesn't need to call the main show.
What Coach sounds like to me is a guy that sets up pay-per-views before, you know, the free-for-all.
Yeah.
I set it up. Oh, you got to order this now because, you know, it's $5.99. Well, not
$5.99. He can host Heat and Velocity. He has no business doing
wrong. He shouldn't be on the main
show. Hopefully they find somebody who can replace him or if they don't bring JR back.
Bring JR back, please, God, please.
All right, that was a Raw report. We'll be right back with our closing.
Closing statements by the Sharks.
All right, we're back. Closing comments. Overall, Raw to me was mediocre, and I'm going to say this: I'm probably going to receive a lot of backlash. The last two backlash, and I'm promoting WWE pay-per-view. Last 2 weeks, I have enjoyed watching TNA more than I have enjoyed watching Raw. Simply because a lot of the angles that they've been doing on Raw are very stale. They're very predictable. And then they have the nerve to make us listen to the coach call matches. Yeah. The coach was awful. He was not only... And it's not like he was trying to be awful on purpose. He was bad just to be bad. Not only was he being over the top with the JR catchphrases like slobber knocker and a barn burner. But it was just, it just doesn't work with him and Jerry Lawler. They don't have the chemistry that JR and Lawler had. Just kind of like JR didn't have the chemistry with Paul Heyman at the time.
Well, it worked okay.
It worked better, but I mean, still, it's just that the King and JR are meant for each other when it comes to announcing. And the coach was actually, believe it or not, I was able to accept the coach as being the third wheel. He was better being the third wheel.
I didn't even like the third wheel.
I didn't like the third wheel, but if he was going to be on there.
With another wrestler or something right there. Just anything else.
Once again, I like TNA because every match that they have on their show have a purpose. They're setting up for their Bound for Glory. Mm-hmm. From the Monty Brown down to the Christopher Daniels match. Mm-hmm. All the things had implications to their pay-per-view for Bound for Glory.
Dude, you're spitting on me.
Oh, sorry. To give WWE credit, though, some of their matches on the past Raw did have stuff to prolong Taboo Tuesday. But my problem with that is simply because it's Taboo Tuesday. It's where we're supposed to interact and pick these matches. And honestly, do you guys really think that our votes really count for these shows? Because
I think so, but you know, everybody know who they're going to pick.
Okay.
Most people are going to pick Shawn Michaels because, you know, him and Kurt Angle had those great matches and, you know, they can carry John Cena for the rest of the night.
Actually, no. I think it's a lot of people that might actually pick Kane because they haven't seen Kane in a while.
Nah, I doubt Kane getting picked.
But anyway, I think I have ranted enough.
Yeah.
I guess it's time for Marcus' rant. So hold on 1 second. Here's Marcus.
All right. Here we go. My closing statement. Eric had a big, outlandish closing statement. Well, I would like to say, I'm just going to say my closing statement really isn't nothing much. I'm going to say I have seen the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior. I love his promos. He put the rocket into the fuse.
Why are you scrolling for the next show?
I'm giving him a sample.
You don't need to give him a sample.
You got
to
give him a sample. These are my closing statements. Well, anyway, next week I will be joined to give the review to the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior. Also, next week we will be doing our top five
Hall of Famers.
Hall of Famers who's already in the Hall of Fame, not Hall of Famers who's going to get in one day.
Just because we have so many Hall of Fame emails, we're going to do that.
And here was Dennis' list, if you don't remember. He had number five, Hulk Hogan, Hall of Famer. Ted DiBiase, you know, DB.
Everybody catching on to our DB fame.
Number three, Roddy Piper, you know, Hot Rod, you know, whatever he comes up. Number two, Andre the Giant. And number one, Jimmy Snuka. My list might have some similar characters in there, but it will be probably different.
And also, just I guess that's your closing statements, Mark?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. Also, just want to let everybody know, I don't know how many of you guys are gamers, but the SmackDown versus Raw 2006 is apparently looks like it's shaping up really nice. Mm-hmm. And also, the PSP version is looking out really nice, but it's coming out in December. We are proud owners of PSPs, unfortunately. Not everybody probably has that luxury.
Yeah, save off. Maybe this may be the game that's worth buying for the PSP.
I like virtual tennis.
Okay.
But this is not a video game podcast.
This isn't a gaming podcast.
Actually,
is it?
I think SoCam would be doing it. Anyway, because we're going to have a conversation about video games after this, so we're going to end the show right now. I'm Eric.
You got to get the information.
I'm going to get the information.
You just said you're Eric. We can't say you guys get the information.
I'm
going to
give the information.
Exits.
Okay. He wants me to give the information first. You know what? How about you give out the information?
All right. I'm Marcus. Oh, wait. Okay. All right. Our information, we're at the Sharpshooters. That's D-A, sharpshooters.blogspot.com. Okay. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. That's D-A, Sharpshooters. And I think that's all the information we give out.
Also, please don't forget to participate in our poll that's on our website.
Did we give out what the poll question was about?
Yes, I gave it out. Okay. But if you want me to give it out again,
give it out.
Which wrestler DVD should be released next?
Oh, wait. We should say, who would you vote for on that list? Because you didn't really have to say the list who was on there.
No, because it's on the website.
Okay.
My vote is Kurt Angle.
Okay. Mine was Steve Austin.
Okay, but I don't think your vote registered.
Yeah, it didn't register. Because
we're from the same IP address. Bullcrap. But anyway. So, I'm Eric.
I'm Marcus, the Garden Finale.
This has been episode 10 of the Sharpshooter.
Hey, we didn't even say it's Big 10.
Yeah, because it's not Big 10. We're waiting for Big 25 and we give away some.
Woo!
All right, we'll see you guys next time. We're out.
Episode 11.
So we stole and drank champagne on the seventh seal. He said he never feel pain, and I ever feel pain. Won't you hit me again? I need a bit of black and blue to be a rotation. In my blood I felt bubbles burst. There was a flash of fist, an eyebrow burst. You believe.